All right, Marks and Reese, we are back on Wednesdays at 4 o'clock. We check in with our expert, Brian Baldinger. And he is an Odyssey NFL insider, and his calls are presented by BetQL. Get access to data and insights that sportsbooks don't want you to see. Bet smarter, beat the books. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today. You can also hear Brian with Jason Lockenfora on Baldy's Breakdowns. New episodes out every week. Just search Baldy on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your broadcast. And Baldy was on the call on the Eagles and the Giants game for national radio on Sunday. What's up, Baldy?
I saw him out there on the field.
Yeah, what's going on, guys? How are you?
I tell you what, there's not many guys that can make you look small, Baldy, but I saw the picture of you and Jordan Mailata before the game, and, I mean, my goodness, Jordan Mailata is a huge human being.
Yeah. Yeah, he is. He can move the way he did on Sunday.
Mm. So, Baldy, what happened? And as you saw it live, as you went back and watched the film, what happened on Sunday? Why did the Eagles have such a tough time scoring and ultimately lose the game?
Well, I mean, the turnovers were critical. They had four of them. Two of them where, one, you're down on the 2-yard line, and, just a terrible decision before the half with 8 seconds to go with a chance to, either throw the ball for a touchdown or kick a field goal, and instead you throw the interception. That was critical. And then, at the end, you throw basically a game winner, and, your receiver doesn't catch the ball. So, I mean, those were critical. But I just thought that they really didn't try to start out running the football. They came out throwing it, and it just seemed a little bizarre after what they just did to New Orleans week before that they didn't just go right to it. And, and when they wanted to run it, whether it was quarterback power or with Boston Scott or Miles Sanders, I mean, they were really good at it. And they waited a long time to try to do it, and they didn't stick with it.
Mm. Evaluate Jalen Hurts, the passer, Baldy. I mean, they kind of switched what they were doing on offense. So starting with the Lions game, 5 games, it's a 65% run clip. It's been working for them, yeah. But there's probably also a reason why they're running the ball 65% of the time. How is he as a passer? I mean, are they running the ball because they know that that's what gives them the best chance? Are they trying to hide Jalen Hurts in the passing game?
Well, I think it's a little bit. I don't think they're trying to hide him. I mean, the interception to Jalen Reagor by Xavier McKinney is just a blatant quarterback failure. I mean, he stared it down, and McKinney's the free safety, and, he's just looking. He doesn't look him off, and, he makes a kind of a bad throw. They go for it on 4th and 2. I don't really understand, the Jalen Reagor thing in that game, guys. Like, if you're going to run sprint right option on the 2-yard line, you could throw it, you could throw it to Ward. But to be honest with you, why isn't Devontae Smith in that role of the sprint right option? I mean, why isn't your best receiver running that route? Why on 4th and 2 are you throwing it to Reagor, not Devontae Smith? I mean, there's just no presence or confidence in Jalen Reagor. And so are you trying to throw it to him to get him confident? Because he's not a confident player. He doesn't act like one, doesn't perform like one. And so why are you putting him in that position? So I think some of that hurts Jalen Hurts, that is. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's part of it. But, I mean, he made some critical mistakes in that game throwing the football. But usually he's pretty accurate with the ball. I mean, even on the 4th and 2 throw to Jalen Reagor, I mean, the ball is well thrown. I mean, the receiver just – he's got no presence to him at all.
When you look at the all-22 of this offense, Baldy, because one of the questions coming out of the game is, well, why did Devontae Smith only get 2 targets? Why did Dallas Goedert only get – 1 catch, and I think he only had 3 targets in the entire game. Is defenses catering their defense to cover these guys and is forcing the ball to go other places, or are these guys open? What are you seeing to where these two?
A little bit. I mean, they put Bradbury, who's their best corner and the only really healthy corner, on Devontae. Sometimes they jammed him at the line. He wasn't exactly great at getting off the jam. Mm-hmm. A couple cases, not all the time.
Okay.
The interception by McKinney, I mean, I don't know why he went to that side. The other side sure looked like Goddard and Devontae Smith were open. Like, why wouldn't you go to that side or look at that side?
Mm-hmm.
It's hard for anybody, I don't care, outside of a couple of guys in this league, to scan the whole field So they give them a lot of half-field reads, and maybe they're instructing them to go one side or the other.
Right.
Or maybe there's indicators that are telling them to go one side or the other. But I thought some of it was that, Ike, that, you know, Bradbury is a good player. You know, on the final play of the game, it's a crosser, and Bradbury's on Devontae Smith. But, you know, they've got him in a position, him and Quez Watkins, to, you know, cross the middle of the field. And you could have thrown it to Devontae. I understand why he didn't, maybe. But, you know, that was a better option than what they did at the very end. So some of it was Jalen Hurts not looking there, and some of it was Bradbury.
Okay.
Brian Baldinger joins us. Would you continue, Baldy, to play Jalen Reagor? I know a question would also be, who do you have behind him that you can put in there? And he is a first-round draft pick last year. Would you continue to play him at the rate they're playing him, or would you try to get somebody else in there?
Well, I mean, I think Quez Watkins is a better player, period. Now, they play all of them, but, I mean, I've said it all along, Quez Watkins can play. They don't treat him like he's a good player, or he can, because they don't really throw to him very much. But I think he's a much better player. He's bigger and he's faster, and I think he plays with a lot more confidence. And I think he catches – I mean, I put my money on him catching a contested ball at the goal line over Jalen Reagor right now. That's how I see it. I mean, they drafted Quez Watkins also. They didn't draft him in the first round. But because you draft the player in the first round doesn't mean that you have to play him. There's been plenty of guys that don't live up to that billing. You know, who cares where they got drafted? They missed out on Justin Jefferson. They got to live with that. But just because you drafted him doesn't make you have to play him. Like, I don't know what he has done or how he plays or practices, because I've seen him in practice. I don't know what makes you say, well, he gives us a better chance to win. I don't see that.
What is it when you
– I could be wrong, John. I could be wrong. Maybe the kid's going to turn around. We saw Nelson Aguilar really stinking up here for a couple of years with a lot of drops, and he's kind of done pretty good in, you know, with the Raiders and with the Patriots. Yeah. I still want to say he can't play, but I think Quez Watkins is a much better player.
When you watch him play, what is it? Why? I mean, we see the drops, and that's obviously, like you had said earlier, that he just is not a confident player. That's mental. But what is it? What is it with him that makes him so ineffective?
Two things. One, the only reason why a player jumps to catch a ball is because they don't trust their hands. So that's what naturally their thing is, to like make sure they try to body it or trap the ball rather than catch it in their hands. Like, just he's jumping at the goal line to catch the ball. Just go catch it. That's one. Number two, there's a lot of receivers in this history of the game at 5'10" that could dominate the game.
Yep.
They play bigger than 5'10". He doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
He plays small, and you know he doesn't have. You know, he's a small player that plays small. And so if you're thrown to him on 4th-and-2, Aaron Robinson, who's a rookie, doesn't play very much, just smothers him. And he doesn't have any ability to really stop him from coming over his back to defend the ball. And then there's just no swagger to him. It just isn't. You just watch the way he – like, there's no reason for you to go, man, we got to put two guys – extra set of eyeballs on this guy, man. Like, he's dangerous. There's not elite route running, hands, and size. I mean, those things aren't there with him.
Baldy, have you been happy with the progress the defense has made the last few weeks, in particular on Sunday?
Yeah. I mean, they physically dominated that game. Now, the Giants stink. I mean, even to give up that touchdown they gave up to Chris Myrick, you know, was hard to, like, even fathom. But physically,
yeah.
I mean – you know, Saquon Barkley had 13 carries in that game. All right, 9 of them didn't gain a yard.
Wow.
Or less. Yeah. A lot of negative runs. You know, the quarterback is running read option the second play of the game. I mean, Rodney McLeod put him in the periscope and just tattooed him. He's not playing this week as a result. Like, I don't understand anything that they do. Like, that is a horrible offense. And the Eagles, to their credit, I mean, they gave up a play here, a play there, but physically, they whipped those guys pretty good at the line of scrimmage. That was pretty good to see from a defensive standpoint.
Yeah, feel good about their chances to bounce back this week. You got to go back up there to the Meadowlands, take on the New York Jets.
I mean, the Eagles have never lost to the Jets,
yeah,
ever.
I know.
Like, to lose this one, that'd be worse than what we just saw last week. The last week, it's still, you can just tell by just talking to me, it still bothers me.
Yeah.
And I'm not out here rooting for one team or the other. I'm not trying to treat all 32 the same, but, like, nobody should the Eagles should never lose to the Giants, and they should never lose to the Jets. They're better. They're better than both teams.
Mm. Yeah, I feel you.
All right, Baldy, as long as Jalen Hurts is here and kind of playing, you know, playing well but not throwing the ball necessarily great, and Russell Wilson, now the more he loses, the more people speculate he could be out in Seattle. What, like, when you watch Russell Wilson play, why is he struggling as much as he is, and what's going on from your perspective with him?
Well, I don't know how bad his finger is and how it affects him to throw the ball, but it's affecting him to throw the ball. I mean, he sailed a bunch of throws the other night that he doesn't normally make. Even on one of the attempts, a few attempts, that he made to DK Metcalf, I mean, the ball ended up 8 yards out of bounds. I mean, there was a window there to make the throw. But the ball's getting away from him more than I've ever seen. I'm not expecting any quarterback to complete them all. It's ridiculous. But the ball's sailing on him on a couple occasions. That's unusual to see that. And then, look. He did take them down the field at the end of the game and get them in the end zone with no timeouts left. I mean, it was Russell Wilson, Houdini magic at the end. The two-point conversion is two-point conversion, but, I mean, they took him down the field to score. But I would say that finger is still bothering him, and just the lack of time that he's had, after missing a month. And then he's got no running game at all.
Would you worry from a perspective of a team that would be interested in acquiring him after this season? Because people look at it and say, do you really want this guy that's struggling right now? Any long-term worries about him not bouncing back?
I don't think so. He's the same guy. So I think some of the struggles are because of the finger. And I don't know what it's like to grip a ball with what he has. But it's certainly affecting him. But I wouldn't have any concerns long-term about his ability to play at the level that we're used to seeing him play at.
Mm. All right, there he is. Baldy, always appreciate it, my friend. Thank you.
Okay. Appreciate it, brother. Yeah,
you bet, guys. Take care.
All right, there he is. That was Odyssey NFL Insider Brian Baldinger. His calls presented by BetQL. BetQL is here to help us all make better bets through real proven analytics. Bet smarter, beat the books. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today. You can also hear Brian with Jason Locke and Fora on Baldy's Breakdowns. New episode out every week. Just search Baldy on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts. So there you go. 215-592-9494. We'll reset with our Twitter question, which is brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. Mark's Jewelers in Montgomeryville, a 25,000 square foot showroom, and all the gifts that you need online, marks-jewelers.com. Two questions, Ike Reese. Mm. The better option for the Eagles on Sunday, a fully healthy Gardner Minshew or a not 100% Jalen Hurts, who was limited in practice today and did not fully practice?
Well, without having seen Jalen myself to know what that looks like, I'll just take him at his word and go with Jalen Hurts Sunday.
Jalen Hurts says he's playing.
He says he's ready to go. I'll go with him that he's ready to go.
And Nick Sirianni, not as confident, but certainly saying that he's progressing. Mm-hmm. That's now 54-46. On 46, we're getting towards 46% of the people want to see a fully healthy Minshew play. Also, do you want the Eagles to trade for Russell Wilson this offseason? Joe Banner had said in his interview with the Inquirer that the Eagles will absolutely be in and be aggressive in trying to get Russell Wilson. Would you trade for Russell Wilson this offseason? No, is 73% of the people say no.
No.
Which is crazy. Cool. Which is crazy to me.
Love that. Hear the reaction when they actually do trade for him.
Yeah, 100% will be jumping up and down. Yeah, absolutely.
You think?
All right, maybe not 100%, but close. Right? Like, how could you not be excited if Russell Wilson was the quarterback of this team?
Well, because he's not our quarterback.
He'd be our quarterback.
Well, I'm just saying that's what the fans' reaction would be. He's not our quarterback. He wasn't drafted here. You know, so they've already grown to like Jalen Hurts as the quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
I mean.
Yeah, it could be a reason with a lot of people.
That's what you get. I mean, listen, obviously that would change as long as he plays well. Once he plays well, people would get on board. But I could see the initial reaction being a little mixed. Yeah, I could see that. Doesn't mean the Eagles wouldn't do it. It just means that every fan wouldn't be 100% on board with it.
All right, let's go.
I mean, there is something to as much respect I have for Russell Wilson as a quarterback and think he is a future Hall of Famer, a lot of that is it comes along with talking about Russell Wilson. But also, if you don't choose to ignore it, is the fact that he won early in his career with a team that was built around a running game and defense, and he hasn't won since.
Yeah.
So that's legit. Like, that is legit.
Hasn't been past the divisional round in years.
So, you know, it's legit that when someone asks, well, getting Russell Wilson here, yeah, maybe that's an upgrade over Jalen in the immediate future, but it doesn't guarantee you a Super Bowl appearance, let alone a Super Bowl win.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no, not
so,
at all.
So, I mean, that's
not
the argument against it, is that you're giving up a lot of your assets for something that isn't a surefire thing.
Right. Makes you a playoff team next year, but does it get you to beating the Packers, the Bucks, or
well, some would argue, does it make you a playoff team? I mean, I can say I believe that, but he's not in the playoffs this year.
No, far from it.
So, I mean.
Let's talk to the people. Steve in Old City. Go ahead, Steve. How are you, buddy? Steve?
Good afternoon.
What's up, bud?
Hey, the question of, would you prefer Watson or Russell Wilson over Hurts, I think is actually an absurd question. Are you having a crack to say no? But the bigger question is, it depends. For example, if you got to give up all three first-round picks, considering the holes we have on the defense, and the fact that we did so poorly in the last 5 years, your last 15 picks in the first three rounds, only one guy went to the Pro Bowl, and he's no longer on the team, yet we don't have $100 million to go fill all these holes through free agency. Mm-hmm. So if you have $40 million for Russell Wilson and you gave up your first round picks to get it, so to fill the deficiencies of the defense and another wide receiver on the offense, I just don't think there's enough money there. Now, can Howie move stuff back for years? Yeah, he can, but I don't think there's enough room within the cap to have a $40 million quarterback, to have 14 failed first three-round picks for the last 5 years, and enough money to
what you're saying makes sense, right? But here's what I would say, and it's not necessarily working for the Rams right now, but the Rams never seem to have any cap issues with fitting big salaries under the cap, right? They sign everybody, they trade for everybody, they're like they get whatever they want. We never have cap issues, right? So you're right. Like, would you have to push this like down the road? Sure, but I mean, are you trying to win right now? Are we building for the long term, big picture? And this is the NFL.
And here's why you don't. Well, hold on, real quick, Steve, real quick. And here's why you don't worry about that. Russell Wilson is set to make $19 million next year as a base salary in 2022. In 2023, he makes $22 million. So he's not making $40 million a year.
Okay, so let me ask you this, because if, from hearing you, you'd prefer to have Russell, and I don't disagree with that. Let's put guy from the Houston aside for a second.
Sure.
How many first or second round picks, if Russell waives no trade clause and says, I'm willing to come to Philly, he can cut a deal to his GM. If you're Howie, how many first, second round picks would you give up to get him?
I would give up at least two. I would give up at least two of them. I got three of them. I would give up at least two of them. If they want three first-round picks, because the Giants also have two first-round picks, then I would throw in the 2023 first-round pick. I mean, that's what I would do. I mean, Russell Wilson, he doesn't necessarily have to have his deal redone immediately. His salary right now on the books is $19 million for next year, and it's $22 million in 2023. He has 2 years remaining on his deal. I'm sure he will want a new deal, but if the Eagles can convince him, we get you here, we figure out a way to get the talent surrounded around you, and we're going to get you a new deal. We're not going to trade all this for you and not give you a new deal. So as quarterbacks, they always have to take less money to fit other guys around them. I mean, that's just something that Russell Wilson would have to be willing to do. If he just wants a high salary and doesn't care right. about the talent around him, then okay, then he really doesn't want to win. But if you want to give the team a chance to win and allow them to put talent around you, then you do a deal like Tom Brady, where he's making $25 million a year. Tom Brady's not looking to make $40, $50 million a year.
Right.
That's not what he's trying to do, because he wants the Antonio Browns, the Mike Evans, the Leonard Fournettes, and all the other guys, because it gives him a better chance to win. If Russell Wilson wants to win and they say, you know what, in another year, you got a new deal coming, but we need to pay Davante Adams right now. So
yeah, I mean, because you're giving them the guaranteed money, and then you can manipulate the numbers any way you want to do it.
Yes, I'm just saying, if these are things that can be talked about and negotiated.
Yeah,
that's all I'm saying. He's not if in his mind is I want to be the highest paid quarterback, and the Eagles realize that we can't do that and put a team around you to compete.
Then what's the point?
Yeah, what's the point of doing it?
Yeah, I mean, if he's going to be 25% of the salary cap this year and they don't have any money to sign anybody else, then
what's the point of doing it?
215-592-9494. We'll get to your phone calls. 215-592-9494. We talk a lot about Russell Wilson and our interest in wanting him, but how would the city of Seattle react to them trading Russ for two firsts? We'll give you that answer. Get your phone calls. And could Gardner Minshew be starting on Sunday? Do you want to see that? Do you want to see a healthy Gardner Minshew?
Nobody wants to see that.
Well,
some of you do.
Minshew magic!
Minshew magic.
Marks and Reese, we're back with you next. But hey, listen, Sunday, December 5th, the Flyers are bringing the Beach to Broad Street at the Wells Fargo Center for Shore Night against the Tampa Bay Lightning. The night will feature all your favorite summer activities. Got to check it out. Tickets for all December home games are available right now. PhiladelphiaFlyers.com. If you have a Flyers fan in your life, might make for a good holiday gift. But again, the Shore Night, Sunday, December 5th. Get your tickets. They're on sale right now for all December home games. PhiladelphiaFlyers.com.
Yeah, I mean, what we're trying to do is focus on how we're winning this football game. And so, yeah, I mean, you look forward to the bye week, because it's, you know, we're late in the season now. So you look forward in the bye week for not just Jalen, but for all the guys that have some bumps and bruises, which I think pretty much everybody's going to have some bumps and bruises at this point of the season with this many games in a row. And so you think about that with everybody. Again, what are we doing to help Jalen get ready to play this week? That's what we're focused on.
All right, Nick Sirianni speaking to the media today as Jalen Hurts was a limited participant in practice as he's banged up. Marks and Reese, we are back. So there's that. Just, I mean, are we talking about 70% Jalen Hurts? You want him out there where he's not able to? That's the problem is, what has been shown in the last 5 weeks and the success the Eagles have had has been more Jalen Hurts' legs and the Eagles running the football than Jalen Hurts throwing the ball.
Right.
Right? Especially with these wide receivers. I mean, this isn't all about Jalen Hurts. The Eagles' wide receivers aren't great as well. It's not helping the passing game. But you want to hobble Jalen Hurts out there? We know he's going to gut through and he's going to want to play. But is it wise to put him out there where he could be a sitting duck and he's not able to run around and make plays with his legs and be used in the running game as a part of the running game? Forget about scrambling and running for yards that way.
Right.
Being used in the running game on design plays, which Nick Sirianni's done a really good job of doing here recently. So that's one of the reasons why I would strongly consider playing Gardner Minshew this week. So we'll see.
I don't want any of Minshew.
Yeah, but see, you don't want any Minshew because you know what happens if he does play.
Magic.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, that's all a possibility.
It is.
Let's say he does play.
Yeah.
What are the odds? Like, the odds, if you're on FanDuel or whatever sports book, like, he goes out and dominates and people are all excited. Is that going off of the minus or is it still plus?
For me, it's a minus.
Still going off at minus?
Yeah.
Minus 150.
Yeah, but see, he doesn't need to dominate to cause a problem, right? Like if he's a more accurate passer, and in 1 week, right? Like I think everybody recognizes by the second or third game that Gardner Minshew had to start, he's going to look a lot different the more he plays than he does that first time coming in. But he could easily come in. He could easily come in on Sunday and throw the ball around and short passes and everything and look really good.
Yeah. So what does that do for you though?
Well, what it does is it gives you an opportunity to see what this offense looks like, what these wide receivers look like, what the head coach looks like, with a quarterback that offers a different skill set than Jalen Hurts. I mean, like,
he may not look as good.
He may not, or he may look better as a passer, right? Like, I want to.
He may look better as a passer. It doesn't. I mean, you can check down Charlie all game, all you want to. And still end up with 7 points at the end of the game, right? So Jalen brings a dynamic to the offense that makes it more difficult for a defense to defend. Gardner Minshew as a passer, there's nothing elite about his arm or anything else that he does that would make the offense any more dynamic. He's not going to make Jalen Reagor a better wide receiver.
No.
He's not. Not going to make Quez Watkins. Can he get the ball to Quez Watkins? His arm's not as strong as Jalen Hurts. So can he throw a deep ball to Quez Watkins? I don't know. You know, I don't like looking at Gardner Minshew's sleeves. That's a good point. Yeah, I don't want to see that as my quarterback out there. I see that and I see preseason game.
Mm-hmm.
I see Gardner Minshew with those sleeves against the Jets says to me, I'm looking at the fourth preseason game.
Right. Well, I mean, I heard Angelo say this morning. He does have a higher quarterback rating than Tom Brady, Ike. So I think you're – I don't know if you're giving him enough credit as what he's done in the league.
You're right. I didn't
– He's a pretty good quarterback.
I didn't realize he was in the same stratosphere with Tom Brady.
Well, I mean, I'm just saying. I mean, numbers sometimes don't tell an entire story of the picture, Ike. But I'm just saying, I want to see what Nick Sirianni looks like calling plays with a different quarterback. You know what? Yes, I do. Because you're going to beat the Jets with Gardner Minshew in there. And, yes, I am curious to see what Minshew looks like in this offense. I'm not afraid to admit it. Right. Yes, I know what Jalen Hurts looks like in this offense. Running the ball, throwing it 35% of the time. I want to see somebody else in there, even if it's just for 1 week. And you get Jalen Hurts healthy, because I am concerned about his health, too, Ike.
Yeah, I don't buy that.
You need to get him healthy for the stretch run. You have the bye week afterwards. This is serious. I don't want him out there. If his mobility is, hey, he's going to have to really throw the ball more than he's going to be able to run around. I don't want him to be a sitting duck back there, especially if they know it's coming.
No, you already said what you want. You just want to see Minshew play.
I do.
It has nothing to do with your concern for Jalen Hurts.
I am concerned, though.
No, stop it.
All right, so quickly, Sports Radio KJR in Seattle put out a Twitter poll. Because guess what they're talking about in Seattle regarding the Seahawks? Trading Russell Wilson. The question is, would you trade Russell Wilson to the Giants? Why the Giants? For two top 10 picks, because they have the top 10 picks.
And they also have Daniel Jones, and they need a quarterback.
And he stinks, yeah. Yes, do it, or no way in Russ I trust. 55% say do it!
Ooh, boy.
55-45. So more people than not say yes, do it. They're ready to start over and move on. So
good. Now we just need Russ to want to come here.
Yes, exactly.
In Russ, we trust.
Yeah. Yep. Let Russ cook. Hashtag. Black Gritty, check it in. Black Gritty.
Guys, first of all, you don't like magic? You party pooper. You get on my nerves. You don't like magic. Everybody loves magic.
I love magic.
Never been to, okay, well, then calm down and enjoy the show, brother. Just calm down and enjoy the show. Secondly, speaking to everybody who is listening, man alive, do any of you people watch the league, okay? First of all, anybody can get paid anything. It doesn't matter. The Rams just flipped their $100 million quarterback, got back a quarterback, got Aaron Donald, got Ramsey, got a Miller, I think they got Moses over there playing for their whole defense right now, and they still are doing it. How can they afford it? Are you listening, guys? When you call up with the $40 million for – shut up, okay? It's the NFL. We flip money like it's nobody's business, okay? The money doesn't matter. Secondly, yes, I would love some Minshew magic, because I tell you what, another thing you listen to, Everybody keeps calling, telling me about Jalen Hurts' development. I'm sorry to tell you, you do not watch Burrow play, and you do not watch that dude up in New England play. You want to talk about he's only played 12 games? Look at them two young dudes out there throwing bombs over Baghdad, okay? If you want to tell me about development, they're 2 years ahead of him already. So you know Jeffrey Lurie sitting up there grumping in the booth watching this kid run around. He is not waiting for that, and he is not having it. Lastly but not least, he's already injured with an ankle, and he keeps running, and that's all we can do to win his run. You think he's safe? He is not. He is going to get decimated and hurt, and then that's how you get this Minshew magic. Let Uncle Rico cook. How about that? Yes, I want to see the chaos. I want to see it. Because guess what? Either way, if it's Minshew or Hurts for the next 2 years, unless we get run somebody, it doesn't matter. Because that's the situation we're in. But stop complaining about money. We got it. Stop complaining about development because we can already see. If you look outside of this league, I'm just saying, Joe Burrow, he's had the same
amount
right, of games.
You're right, man. You're right.
He's had the same amount of games. So every time you keep saying about these other quarterbacks, that's why they're thinking that. And then you got to think about Jeffrey Jones. He wants to throw balls. He does not want to run.
Balls.
I love you guys so much.
All right, BJ.
Hey!
Yes, yes.
The magic is gonna happen, brother. Let the magic happen.
Gobble those balls up.
Let the magic happen.
Yep, and I received some information from Pudge on direct message that Minshew does not wear the sleeves anymore.
No, but he cuts his sleeves.
I don't know.
Yeah, I've seen him. I just saw him in Detroit, and I couldn't stand looking.
Yeah, but
at
maybe
him.
The bullying. Caused
or
him
now
to change
bullying.
His sleeves.
Yeah, I did kind of bully Devontae out of his sleeves. He hasn't worn them since.
That's what you guys at WIP do.
Well, I'm only trying to help out. I mean, seriously, Devontae didn't look like a damn wide receiver, and he's played much better since he's gotten rid of
those damn
sleeves.
Well, he hasn't had the case of the drops.
Exactly.
Since
that's
those
what I'm
sleeves.
Saying. He got rid of those damn sleeves, and he looks much better as a wideout.
You really
he
are
does.
A leader.
He looks much more natural as a wideout with those
man.
Sleeves.
Seriously,
he does.
You got any advice for? Right. Got any advice for Rager? Glasses?
LASIK.
Get LASIK. Get something, yes. How about Baldy bringing up the same thing I did about jumping to catch the ball?
Said the same thing yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, no, I used to be a wideout, too.
Well, not the way you're walking around here today, pal.
Did you jump for balls when you were a wideout?
Pause. No, I didn't, man. I was 6'3".
Didn't lost anyone?
So you're a better wideout than Jalen Rager is right now.
Yeah, but see, you know what? I didn't get to play the X or the Z. I didn't get to play on the outside. I had to play – you know, in the inside.
You're a possession guy.
Yeah. You're trying to say I was slow or something?
Yeah, well, no. Yeah, well, you're like Al.
I was kind of like Al.
How good was your high school quarterback?
Not very good, but yeah.
Should we call him up?
Not very good, but we ran for the older folks out there. John, you'll remember this. We ran the run and shoot.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Did Mouse Davis, was Mouse Davis your coach?
Yep. So this was – now, Jack, you got to think about this. This is early 90s, late 80s, early 90s now. Having four wide receivers on the field were unheard of.
Oh,
my
God.
It was just unheard
of. And one back?
Yeah, and one running back, that was unheard of.
No fullback in the offense?
So when they came with the run and shoot, it was like, oh, this little gimmicky offense, it's you know. But we picked it up in high school, that's what we ran.
Wow, you guys did the run and shoot.
You guys are innovative.
Well, the quarterback was terrible, so it didn't really matter that we ran the run and shoot.
My high school is still running the wing T, I think.
Yeah, really? Well, I mean, that's when Nick Sirianni's brother ran that 1 year.
Yeah, man. So I caught three touchdowns.
Did you?
It's a big year.
All right.
Yeah.
There you go.
But just to be clear, Michigan State was not interested in you as a receiver.
At all. They weren't interested at all in me as a wide receiver.
Detroit, Atlanta, Houston ran the run and shoot.
Yeah. Yep.
Anybody else? They were the three.
No, those were the three. Yep.
I always hated that.
Everybody hated that offense.
And because
June good when Warren Moon was running it.
Oh yeah, it
down
did.
There in Houston.
Oh man.
Only problem was they couldn't run out the clock.
Right.
In Buffalo, when they had the 32-8 lead or whatever it was, and they had to keep throwing because that was the offense.
So no tight end and no fullback.
No
right?
No tight end, no fullback.
It's crazy, especially during those times where it's like you, man, they like the Giants use three tight ends all the time and a fullback and a running back.
Yeah. Well, man. And you used to get the quarterback teed off on.
Yes.
Yeah, because you didn't have the extra protector in there.
Yes.
Yeah, it was a little ahead of his time.
Yeah, I'd say.
A little bit.
June Jones was a run and shoot guy.
Yeah.
He's an innovator. took it to college and had a lot of, you know, Timmy Chang put up big numbers.
Timmy Chang.
What do they run?
He's got to work Hawaii into it.
Well, June Jones was a run and shoot.
He was, and it was in Hawaii.
Yeah, yeah, and he brought it to Hawaii. Yeah, there you go. Let's go to Amir.
Hawaii.
You can't even say it correctly.
Hawaii.
Hawaii.
No, Hawaii. Hawaii.
Hawaii.
So I don't do the V Hawaii. I do Hawaii.
It sounds like you do.
Hawaii.
He's got a native tongue.
I do. Just ask all my Hawaii friends. They're listening right now. Let's go to Amir in Chester, Pennsylvania. Amir, go ahead. What up?
Guys, what's up, y'all? What's up?
What's up, Amir?
Hey, listen, you said a couple callers ago exactly what I was thinking. Listen, Russ, here, come here and do exactly what you said and then what? I'm definitely not giving up two or three, maybe one. But this is the thing. Mm-hmm. Let's just think about it. He won with two of the most iconic names on offense and defense. Beast Mode and Legion of Boom.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Really, what happened after that? Then listen. And I definitely think he got great qualities, especially leadership, intangibles. He's super smart. And he don't have a hose for an arm. He throw a lollipop. He a little accurate. But he's Russell Wilson. But at the end of the day, I definitely wouldn't give up two, three draft picks for him. No way. No way. Second of all, I'm going to tell you what I find funny, y'all. I wonder if y'all catch this. Mm-hmm. When Dak lost and when the Bills struggling, why every time a quarterback starts struggling, they said he need to run the ball more? I don't understand this. I thought they the quarter. Listen, the only joke I would trade for is Aaron Rodgers. It's clear, super arm talent, best I ever seen ever. He even when he won his Super Bowl, it wasn't about no defense and no running game. It was about him. Outside of that, you try to build and you build your team out, and then when the opportunity comes, you take a pop. But
so you're right, sticking with Hurts.
Yeah, until the next best thing happens. I don't think the next best thing is Russ giving up everything.
Okay.
No, and definitely. Oh, listen, Minshew, come on, really? Like you said, what's dynamic about him? So it's like, all right, you let him play. I would let him play just the rest of it. Yeah, outside, get ready for the big division games or whatever. But outside of that, he just Minshew. Like, something got to be dynamic about your quarterback. Whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
He's just a guy. Like, and you can win with just a guy because Nick Foles was just a guy. But you got to have a good team around you. But Russ, and I remember you saying last year, a couple years ago,
yeah. You
want hungry boys, man. Get all these old boys. You got to stay hungry. He didn't come here and fit in a tank. It's like, okay, with Sierra, wife got a great check. I got great check.
You don't think he'd come here hungry? Amir, appreciate it. Because here's one thing I know for sure. And you know what? Maybe Russell Wilson is more stats than winning, right? Like, you look at what he's done since the Legion of Boom when it became more about Russ and they moved on from the defense and it became about the offense. He's thrown for a lot of yards. He's thrown for a lot of touchdowns. He has a high completion percentage. They win a lot of regular season games. They've reached a certain spot in the playoffs. And Russ hasn't played great in the playoffs. Just look at the game logs. I mean, that's a fact. You can't get past that. He's still an excellent quarterback.
Yeah, he still hasn't had a team. But when I see and I look at Seattle, they haven't been a true Super Bowl contender since that defense was dismantled. Everything else has been basically Russ. I mean, that's what it's been. Russ has carried them to the playoffs. He hasn't necessarily lost with a Super Bowl caliber team.
Right.
So they've overachieved because Russell Wilson was their quarterback.
Yeah, they haven't been in the NFC Championship game, and Russell Wilson stinks, and that's why they lost the game,
exactly.
And everybody else did what they were supposed to do.
No, they haven't had a running back since Beast Mode left.
Right. Yeah, it's true.
They don't have any tight ends. Offensive line has been an issue. The wide receivers, they just got DK Metcalf. Tyler Lockett was his best wide receiver for a long time. Tyler Lockett is 5'8", 5'9". Right? So they just got DK Metcalf 2 years ago.
Yeah.
So the team, in my opinion, has not been that good of a team. When people talk about Russell Wilson, they act like Russell Wilson has held the team back. That's why I always tell you, you know, quarterbacks get too much credit. They get too much blame. What, Russell Wilson's supposed to carry a bunch of nobodies to the Super Bowl and win?
Right.
No, that hasn't been the case. And I'm not saying he would do that with this team. All I'm saying is if they were interested in him, they will also put other parts around him. The problem is, unless you believe Jalen Hurts is the guy, all we're like, what are we doing? Just sitting around waiting for what?
Right, for what? Next year he comes back and you have the three first-round draft picks. You're running 60% of the time.
Or whatever it is the team good enough to win, and are you going to be happy? Like, we act like football is the sport where we're willing to sit around and watch the team grow and develop for 3 or 4 years and then say, okay, now they're ready to win.
Yeah, I mean,
he's ready to fire the head coach after 3 games.
If they lose to the Jets, we're back.
Yeah, and everybody want to act like they are good on, oh, we got patience. We'll sit around. We'll wait. We'll watch them develop.
And then they play a game, and we're done waiting.
We're having fits.
Yeah,
well,
true.
Guess what? That's what the front office
same
is
thing.
Thinking. They are impatient. They don't want to sit around and wait.
Well, especially with how this team's built. I mean, like, they have a good roster. They have the most cap space in second most cap space in football heading into next year. Mm-hmm. And they have 11 draft picks.
Yeah.
Like, they're closer to having to be competing.
Man, whole reason why they moved back in the draft was to get the draft pick so they could make a move like this. Let's be honest. That's why they have 3 first-round draft picks. Not because Howie wants to draft a linebacker in a corner.
Right.
They wanted to have options.
Yep.
And they have options now. And now it's a matter of whether one of these guys want to come here or not.
And Howie went out there and saw two gloves pick it, and he was like, you know what? He looks good, but he don't look that damn good.
No, he doesn't.
Yeah.
No, and one of the there hasn't been a quarterback to emerge, and there's not going to be a guy to emerge.
No.
So that takes that out of the equation. Jalen Hurts might be the quarterback, but next year. But here's the other thing, right? Like, So now he comes back out next year, and he shows marginal improvement, and you still like him, and the guys like him, and he makes plays. Now you got to decide on the future. Is he a guy that you're going to re-sign and extend? Do you want him to be your quarterback for the next 3 or 4 years after that,
because
right?
To your point, if Jalen Hurts is, like, in the middle.
And that's the worst place to
be. Well, here's the problem, right? If he's in the middle, he goes into his fourth year as a lame duck quarterback. And that's probably the number one question of the offseason.
Oh,
if you don't
absolutely.
Re-sign him. Going into the last year of your deal, franchise tags, all that other type of stuff. Like, that's what he's going to be playing under.
Well, I can already tell you what our shows are going to be like that training camp, what the questions are going to be like, what it's going to be like in the offseason.
Yes.
Are they making a trade? Is he the guy?
Yep.
Right? Like, we know how it works here.
It would be Baker Mayfield here.
Yep.
I mean, that's what it would be.
Yeah, here.
Yeah, it would be Baker Mayfield here.
Right. So, like, it could end up happening. That could be the road that they travel down, but I believe that's the road they travel down if they don't really have any other options. Because
yep.
if he plays to where you're like, nah, he's our guy, then you're extending him and you don't worry about any
yeah,
of that.
Exactly.
But if it's going like this, then it's going like this. Jamie in Wilmington, Delaware. Jamie, how are you?
Hey, good. How are you today?
What's up, Jamie?
What's up, Jamie?
This is a great conversation. I have to say, really quick, I was driving home and Jack comes on and he goes, Jamie, you're up next.
Jack,
he learned at the school of Wechter.
Yes,
I know, and I was like, yeah, I'm here. All right, it was like I was like running late for school or something.
Good job, Jack.
Well, this is more important, frankly.
Yes,
it's definitely time for Minshew mania.
Oh God!
And you know, if Josh Harris was the owner of the Eagles, he would be all over this because then he'd be selling the mustaches, everything. He'd be all over it.
Yeah, I could see Joshua Harris like selling stuff outside the stadium, T-shirts that go right into his pocket. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, the guys outside selling all the
working for Josh Harris, yep.
Yeah, everybody would be selling mustaches out there.
Yep.
But I think, like, I'd rather have you put on the neck roll and get out there. I'd drop Jalen right now, have you go out there.
Get my neck roll! Wow, so you're not in on Jalen Hurts, huh?
I'm not a Jalen hater, but I think I want to see if Sirianni is the real deal. So let's see, you know, let's get Minshew, let's let Jalen stay healthy, let's throw some Minshew mania in there and see if Sirianni is the real deal.
I got to be honest with you, I hear you, Jamie, and you're not alone. Obviously, John feels the same way, and there have been plenty of other people that have called up and said the same thing. I'm actually a little surprised at this.
That we want to peek at Minshew mania?
Yeah, that so many people do.
Yeah.
I'm telling you what it says to me is people are like, you know what, I've seen enough of Jalen Hurts.
Well, no, you're right, Ike.
I mean, that's really what it says. And it may not say I've seen enough of him that I don't want him here anymore, but it's more or less like, you know what, I want to see something different.
Yeah, what the hell?
That's what it feels like.
That's pretty much what it is. It's like, you know what?
That's what it feels like.
He's hurt. If he's 70%, like, yeah, what the hell? Let's see what Minshew does. Because, like, this team has its limitations this year. I feel like the quarterback has his limitations to what he can actually be. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, it'd be one thing if you had a quarterback that you knew was your guy. I would never do that. I would never knowingly then try to – I mean, because it does create a controversy, right? Like, you put Minshew in there where he can play – now you are creating your own controversy, which they did when they drafted Jalen Hurts. Mm-hmm. They did. Mm-hmm. Let's go to Herb in Northeast Philly.
Oh boy!
Oh, we forgot to conference in Herb on the call, Ike.
Woo-hoo.
With Baldy yesterday, he had asked if we could bring him in on a 4-way conversation. Herb, I'm sorry, I forgot.
Don't even worry about it, John. Don't even worry about it.
What's up, buddy?
Okay, the deal is, a few weeks ago, you guys saw Jalen Hurts throw that ball to my boy number 6, correct?
Yes, Delonte Smith.
Delonte West. Yep.
Caught that bomb. I want to see 3 or 4 or more of them, okay?
Okay.
That's a great idea.
You guys, what you're doing is you guys are trying to promote that the guy can't throw the deep ball.
Herb, where are you right now?
At the grocery store.
I'm in a Chinese restaurant on Buffalo. Okay. Yeah.
Because I hear a phone in the background and people talking and ordering and things like that. It's distracting.
On at the Chinese, you know what I mean.
So what do you order at the Chinese? Do you go combination platter, egg roll, fried rice,
chicken stick tonight probably.
Chicken sticks.
So anyway,
chicken sticks at the Chinese restaurant, huh?
I mean.
And what else though? You can't just eat chicken sticks. You go egg roll or
chicken sticks or chicken strips.
Figure it out.
No.
Well, I think it goes on a shish kebab thing.
Something like that. You got it.
Are you a General Tso's fan or?
They got the best ones here though. The chicken.
What about those Korean ribs, man?
Oh.
The ribs. They got ribs there.
I like them.
Okay, so, I mean, this talk about Wilson, you know. This guy is going to come here for his remainder of his two years or whatever,
mm-hmm.
and then he's going to demand $50 million a year. That's what the bottom line is.
Mm-hmm. You're probably going to have to give it. Dad, you like shrimp lo mein or chicken lo mein or vegetable lo mein, Herb?
I eat anything, John. I eat anything.
Pause.
All right, man. Listen, enjoy it. Sorry, I can't do an Eagles conversation with the phone ringing in the background.
Well, I think we were interrupting his order. He was he was trying to do a call in between his order. Wow,
it's a lot to handle.
He was on hold for a while, so I guess it was.
He probably had gone somewhere else first, and then headed over to the.
He went to did a return at Kohl's.
Return at Kohl's. I gotta take these slippers back.
Yeah, I've never seen you order Chinese food. But of all the lunch orders that you've made over the years,
I don't eat Chinese food.
Really?
I was just perping. I just know that they have the
ribs are delicious.
Right? Yeah,
great.
I've never had it. Yeah,
man, they're good. Jack, Chinese food. I've never seen you eat it.
I love Chinese food. It's a little filling for middle of the day.
You never seen him eat Chinese food? What is that you're eating out there? What's the sushi? What's the sushi?
Sushi.
Right?
That's sushi.
That's sushi.
That's like not Chinese food.
No.
What's the difference?
The food. One is raw fish in rolls and rice, and the other is cooked. And the country where it's also traditionally eaten is different
as
well.
I thought it was all from the same place.
I like sushi, but the problem is with Chinese food. It's up where I am. I don't know why. It's tough to find a good Chinese restaurant. There used to be a place in Willow Grove called Mandarin Garden. It's since out of business because they bulldozed the building it was in.
What about Panda Express?
In the mall, I would do Panda Express or a Master Wok.
Okay.
Yeah, I would do
No, I mean, what is that? Is that Chinese food?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I've many times at the mall
gone. Where's sushi from?
Japan.
Okay.
Combination platter, garlic chicken with vegetable fried rice and an egg roll.
China and Japan. Man, look at the globe.
Yeah, go take a look. Just Google it. 215-592-9494.
Really China and Tokyo. Tokyo's the city.
Tokyo's in Japan. Taiwan is the island that's fighting with China because they want their independence.
I don't want to know all that.
Right. Well, that was the whole fight with Daryl Morey and whatever because Taiwan wanted the independence and mainland China said no and Daryl Morey put out a tweet and all hell broke loose and LeBron. 215-592-9494. Coming up, top five at five. What does Jack Fritz have in store for us today? Find out and get to your calls. Who's interested in a little Minshew mania? Marks and Reese on 94 WIP. Hey, listen, if you're an experienced window or door installer in search of being an important part of a reputable company, then I have a great opportunity for you. Due to high demand for the quality products and services, my good friends at Guided Door and Window are looking to add professional installers to their esteemed insulation team. Guide is the trusted family-owned window and door replacement expert servicing the tri-state area for over 70 years. Their reputation for quality is second to none, and they're looking for installers with several years of experience and a track record that shows superior workmanship. And with Guide's focus on providing customers with the high level of service that they've come to expect, they're looking for installers that are courteous, respectful, and have good communication skills. Guide is consistently busy all year round, so you can expect to have a financially successful career that you can rely on. It's no wonder why most of Guide's installers have worked for them in excess of 10-plus years. Become a part of Guida's team of expert installers today by calling 877-GO-GUIDA. That's 877-GO-GUIDA. Or just visit their website at goguida.com/careers to submit your resume. That's go, G-U-I-D-A.com.